Last week, we started a new series that we're continuing that's called Uphill Hopes and Downhill Habits. And I'm really excited about this series because I believe that God readies our hearts. I don't know where you're at. I don't know what's going on in your life particularly, but I believe that come the first of the year, God readies our hearts for something new, something that He wants to do in our lives. And I think that we sense that. And out of us that sense, what we do is we tend to say, you know what, I need to make some resolutions in my life. I think that's where it comes from. This idea of new beginnings, new opportunities, new possibilities. I think that we all sense that there's some kind of a need for a change in our lives, and we're ready for it, hopefully. You can fill this in right away if you want. On your notes, it says, most people have uphill hopes and downhill habits. Most of us have hopes of what we want to see happen in this new year, but our habits don't take us to where our hopes are at. Our habits actually take us downhill. The problem is we attempt to change behavior in our lives through resolutions when God wants to change us internally. So we try to change outward things. People will say, you know what, I need to lose weight, which is a good thing. People say, I need to quit smoking, that's a good thing. People will say, all these things that I need to change. God wants to change us internally, because what the change that happens internally gets lived out externally. The outward things change from an internal change that God does. Here's the scripture we've been looking at out of Romans 12:2. It says, fix your attention on God, you'll be changed from the inside out, readily recognize what He wants from you, and quickly respond to it. Unlike the culture around us, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, what God wants is God brings the best out in you and develops well-formed maturity in you. Man, that's an important thing for us to understand, to know that God is working in our lives. He's wanting to work in your life well-formed maturity. While the world's bringing you down, God's building you up. I don't know about you, but I think it'd be great if we were able to look back next year at our lives and not even recognize the people that we are, the person that we are, because God's done so much change within us. Here's one of the fill-ins we had last week that I wanted to include this week because it's so important to this series, and that is we form habits, and then what happens is our habits form us. So you have habits in your life, whether good or bad, and those habits shape and form you. A lot of times we come to the first of the year with these new desires and new hopes, but we have no habits and no strategies, nothing that takes us in the direction of these new hopes that we have in our lives. We have no steps, as it were, to take us where God desires us to go. We just have hope. We'd like to see change, but we have no goals, no steps, no habits that lead us towards that change. And hope's not a strategy. Another fill-in on your notes is this: habits are strategies that God uses to shape us. Sometimes we see habits as, even if they're good habits, we kind of see them as just things we don't enjoy, things we have to do. But we all need uphill habits, because uphill habits are biblical habits, and they shape and form us into godly people. You're never going to be a person that God wants you to be without uphill habits. In fact, this isn't a fill-in, but man, I love this point. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. Successful people do consistently what other people do occasionally. And that really does speak to this whole idea of spirituality. In your spiritual life, in your financial life, in your physical life, in your relational life. The successful people are people that have habits, and what they do is they do consistently where other people just do it occasionally. It's the little things in our lives, these little habits that no one sees that bring results that everyone wants. I can't tell you how many times or how many people have said to me, you know what, I really want to be like, and they'll tell me somebody in there, somebody that we know, somebody here at the church, I really want to be more like this person. And they think that that comes just because that person is a great person. A real interesting one to me is that a lot of people love Howard and Faith, who are no longer with us. God rest their souls. No, they're moved away. But Howard and Faith, people come to me all the time and they say things like, you know, man, I want to be more like Howard. I want to be more like Faith, you know. Well, Howard and Faith are Howard and Faith because of the habits that they have. People, we look on the outside and we say, oh, look at, they're so this, And I love that about them. But whatever it is that we see comes out of a habit that they have, a discipline in their lives that they've nurtured and it's become a part of their lives. So this issue of the little things that we have in our lives are really what other people want, these habits that we allow into our lives. Everybody has, most of us have live off downhill habits because they're the easy way to live our lives. The life that God has for all of us is challenging, but it's doable. It's uphill, but it can be done. And here's the great news, as we mentioned last week, God will help you through this. This is not something that you do on your own. In fact, we're not looking for change that can happen with willpower. We're looking for change that can happen through God's power. So that means we're not just looking to have willpower to make it through a difficult thing or to make a habit that we want to have in our lives. We need God's power, and it's much stronger than willpower in our lives. So the first habit that we looked at last week is, if we're going to have these small habits that are going to help us, first habit last week we looked at is we want to get close to God. And how do we do that? You need to go and listen to the talk online because it was really good. One of the things that we said though last week is coming close to God means that we're all in. We're not just partially in. We're going to look at the scripture a little bit later again, but James 4:8 tells us this, come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. And then it says this, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. It's a dangerous place for us to be. When our loyalty is divided between God and the world, we'll never draw close to God when our loyalty is divided. Never. I point this out because this really does relate to our next point and the next habit that I think we need to look to. First one, get close to God. But the way that we get close to God is this second habit that I think is important, and that is this. What we're looking at today is putting God first. Putting God first in your life. If you were to do this one habit, putting God first, I think it would revolutionize your life. Just this one habit, of all the habits that we're looking at, if you were to do this one habit, it would totally change your life. God wants to be first in your heart and your life. God never asks from us what he does not model for us. So when I say that God wants to be first in your life, and God asks that of all of us, God never asks that anything from us that he has not modeled for us. God said this, I'm going to show you the priority that I made for you by giving you my first and only son, my best. All that I have, God says, I'm giving you all that I have. I'm giving you my son to come and to die on the cross for your sins. Though you don't deserve it, though you could never earn it, I want to show you the place that you have in my life, in my heart, God says. And he sends his son on a mission to die for you. That's incredible. God never asks us to add him to what we already do in our lives. And that's the way a lot of people look at it. It's like, I want to come to church, I want to bring God into my life. I want to bring God into what I'm already doing. God calls us to be something else, a new creature, something different, what he wants us to be. And without surrender, we're still in control. So there's a principle that runs throughout the Bible, and it's a principle of priorities. We honor God by putting him first, by making him our priority. And something we need to understand is a feeling, you can write this down, but priorities are more than a list in our head. Priorities are about what we do first. A lot of I can say, hey, is God a priority? You go, oh yeah, God's my priority. How do I know that God is your priority? I can tell more about people by what they do first than by what they tell me. Somebody can tell me, man, God's a priority, and they come to church like, you know, Christmas and Easter. I know God's not a priority. I'm not judging them. I'm just saying we can tell, you can read people by what they do first. I want you that just to sink in. It's more than just a list in our head. It's easy to say that what our greatest priority is. It's easy to say what is most important to us. However, what you do first shows what is really first. And I hope that challenges you. I know it challenges me. I'm not trying to create something that makes it difficult to follow Christ. I'm just unveiling what God already says to us. God already points this out to us. This is not like something new. It's not something difficult. It's just something that God says, look, this is what I expect. I put you first in my life. I want to be first in your life. we have to come to terms with ourselves and our desires to be in control. Especially when, and I think this is important for us to look at, when what we are becoming looks nothing like the person we are following. That's an important principle for us to understand. You got to look at yourself and say, is what I'm becoming actually reflective of who I'm following? If I claim to follow Jesus, am I looking like Jesus? That's how priorities work in our lives. So the scripture we looked at last week is this: come close to God, purify your hearts, and then it says your loyalty is divided between God and the world. And God doesn't want divided loyalty. God wants to be first in our lives. So what are some ways that we can live out this kind of a habit? Not just say that God is first. How can we create a habit that actually puts God first in our lives? And I think we put God first when, first of all, we reorder our lives to show that God has first place. I think that's a basic principle. We all have to reorder our lives to show that God's first. And you need to allow the Holy Spirit to speak into your life about that and how that relates to you. When I say reorder, I'm talking about to reestablish the value of things that we have in our lives. To look at your life right now, because there are some things that need to be eliminated, and God's there to help you do that. Maybe you kind of feel that. It might be smoking, or it might be something else. And you say, you know what? This needs to be eliminated. It doesn't look anything like God. It doesn't look anything like Christ. Some things need to be added, some things that we're not doing. Maybe some things need to be less important because we've made them too important, and some things need to be more important that we have not made important at all. The goal of reordering our lives is that the activity of our life shows that God is first. That's the idea. The goal of reordering your life is the activity of your life. Does the activity, how do I live, the way that I live, does that show that God is first? Even in the Ten Commandments, God says this. He says, I'm the Lord your God who brought you out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. Verse 3, you shall have no other gods before me. God's saying, I have to be first. When he uses that word gods, little g, it means loves and passions. God doesn't mind us loving something at all, but he does mind us loving anything more than him. Here's, you know, we look at the scripture, and I'm not going to read it for you, but there's scripture in the New Testament where Jesus says, hey, unless you hate your father, mother, brother, sister, you can't be my disciple. He's not saying that we hate our family members. He's saying, in comparison, your love for me has to be greater than even your family, and even more than your own life, loving your own life. So for us, this is really important for us, this love and passions. What is it in our lives that we love? And God says, I don't have any place for anything that is above me. So how do we put God first? And putting God first, this, we give God the first of everything. That is a very practical step of how you and I can put God first. Putting God first is a hard thing. It has successes and failures. It's not a fix. It is not something that you master all of a sudden. There are good days and bad days, successes and failures, but you are in a discipline of doing something consistently. So saying God is first and showing that God is first are two different things. And so if we're going to say that God is first, then what we want to do is we want to give God the first of everything. Pastors often use this scripture to teach people about the principle of giving and what that looks like and what scripture talks about. But this is way more than a money principle. This is a life principle. When we give God the first of everything, it's called a tithe, is what scripture refers to it as. It's a tenth. It's not just a tenth. It's not just 10%. It represents something far deeper and has more substance. And that's this. The tenth represents your first and your best. It's not the leftovers. And a lot of times, I think this is a problem that most of us as Christ followers have, is God gets our leftovers. God gets our leftover time. He gets our leftover talents. He does not get our first and our best. And listen, this reflects if God is first in your life. Because when God is first, we show that by what we give him first and by putting him first. So this is about more than money. It includes money, but this is about your thoughts. It is about your time. It's about your dreams. It's about your ambitions. It's about your talents. All the things that make up your life, all these things, does God get your first and your best? Leviticus 27 tells us this: a tithe of everything from the land, whether grain from the soil or fruit from the trees, belongs to the Lord. It is holy to the Lord. And that word holy means it's set apart. It belongs to God. So 10%, this first and best of what we have, is to be returned to God because it's already His. And why did God establish this principle? It's a great scripture in Deuteronomy 14 that tells us this: the purpose of tithing is to teach us to always put God first in our lives. That's why the principle is there. That's why God established it. God wants to be first. And He understands this, that if we don't have habits and steps and structures that keep God first, God will progressively go down, 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 down the totem pole, basically, of our life. And other things less significant will go up. Habit is to put God first. How can I give God my first and my best? Well, we can put God first when we give God the first of our year. It's a great place to start. It's where we're at right now. If we want to make this applicable, we can give God our best by giving Him the first of our year. And the reason that we do this is to establish that God is first in the whole year. This year belongs to God. We do this every year. We say, hey, the first of the year, we're going to set aside this time, 21 days for prayer and fasting, and we're really going to dedicate this year to God. Anyone can do this. Excuse me, this is not legalistic. It's not about earning God's approval or impressing God with what we do. But we're going to give up something during the first of the year, so that we can devote time to coming close to God, to putting God first. A lot of churches in our areas and a lot of churches even around the United States do this 21-day fast. Where right now, even today, there's a lot of churches that are starting this 21-day fast of putting God first. Something that I'm doing, I'm not saying that you have to do this, I'm just saying this is what I'm doing. I'm doing a 37-day fast because 37 represents 10% rather than 21. There's no magic number, and I'm not impressing God by doing 37 days. That's not why I do it. I do it because in my heart, I want God to get my first and my best of the year. And the best and the first represents 10%. And so I'm going to give Him this 10% just to show Him and to help establish this habit of putting God first in my life. There are different fasts that we can participate in. I'm going to go through these really quick. But first of all, as we go through this fast, we would love for you to join us. The first fast is a complete fast, and that is where not everybody can do this, but this is where you stay away from all food. You just eat water or drink water and juices. Don't try to be a hero in this. Check with your doctor to make sure that you physically can do this. But there is a fast the Bible calls us to that's a complete fast, to stay away from all food. There's another one that's a selective fast, and that's where you eliminate certain foods from your diet. Like it could be sodas or a Daniel fast, which is no meats or sweets and no bread and just fruits and vegetables kind of thing, which is great. So it's a selective fast. Then there's a partial fast. And that's where you're not eliminating certain foods, but you're eliminating certain meals. So like breakfast or lunch or dinner. And you eliminate those meals so that you can spend that time with God. You can spend that time praying, connecting with God. We talked about this last week. Prayer connects us to God. Fasting disconnects us from the world. Another fast is a soul fast. And that's where it's not really focused on food. This is more of it about emotional and what we're feeding our emotions and our mind. It's giving up things like social media or no media. There's a lot of that kind of stuff that people do, and that's great. I'll tell you what, Isaiah 58 also says this, that there's a fast that God asks for, and that is that we add something to our behavior that is not a part of our behavior, like feeding the poor, clothing the poor, housing the homeless. Adding those things into our life, God says, hey, that's a fast too. Anyone can do these. Everyone can participate. But you have to ask God what He wants you to do. You can all put God first by giving Him the first of the year. We're started today. That's when our fast starts. We also can put God first by giving Him the first of our month. And this is where we budget our money. This is where we budget our schedule. We set aside the first of the month and we look at our schedule and we say, hey, I'm going to give God this, my finances. I'm going to set aside this as financial to God. I'm giving this to God. There's a lot of scriptures that talk about this. This is probably one of the most difficult for people to practice. But scripture tells us that we're to bring the tithe into the church so that God's provisions will be plenty. If we want a heart that's undivided, I would say this is probably something we need to address in our lives, especially the financial part of it. Remember, Jesus said it this way in Matthew 6. He says, you can't worship God and money. You can write it down, Matthew 6, 24, and read it later. You can't serve two gods. You can't serve God and money. So we put God first by giving him the first of our month. Another one we do is we put God first by giving him the first of our week. And you're here today, so that's good. You're here today. This time of gathering together is very important. That's what Hebrews tells us. Let's see how inventive we can be by encouraging love and helping out, not avoiding worshiping together as some do, but spurring each other on, especially as we see the big day approaching. I don't know if you realize this, why the church moved from a Saturday, which was Sabbath, to a Sunday. First of all, it's because the resurrection was on a Sunday. Jesus rose from the dead. The second thing is the early church wanted to begin their week rather than end their week with God. It's again goes back to the first and the best. Giving God the first of my week and coming here together. First of the week, we gather to worship God and we set aside Sunday as his day. And how would your life look different if you were to say, you know what, I'm going to set this habit in motion and I'm going to put God first in this area and I'm going to be here 52 weeks. How would your life look different? Again, this is not legalistic. We're just looking for ways to put God first. We're looking for strategies and steps that help us create a habit rather than just saying, you know what, yeah, God's first, but my actions don't show it. The last one is this. We can put God first by also giving him the first of our day. You can do this easy. Your first words, before you grab your phone, before you do anything, to have that conversation with God and just bring God into the day, to bring God into the moment and say, God, I don't know what you have going on in my life today. I don't know what's going to happen today, but I'm here for you and I want and need to connect with you. The first of my day, I want to take time with God. I think we can all give God 15 minutes. Everyone has 15 minutes. Then you might say, man, that sounds tough. But you remember, we're talking about uphill habits. Downhill habits come easy. If you're looking for what comes easy at the downhill habit, you don't have to give God the first of your day. Yeah, there's going to be some tough, but it causes you to depend on God. In your first 15 minutes, what if you gave 5 minutes to being in the Word? What if there's 5 minutes that you spent reading the Word? Just getting that into your life. What if you spent 5 minutes in worship? Just telling God how great he is. How much you love him, how important it is. What if you spent 5 minutes in prayer? Just 15 minutes. The Word, worship, and prayer. Let me say it this way. This is not legalism. You're not gonna earn God's approval. You're not gonna impress God by doing these things. These are opportunities for us to create habits that put God first. And connecting with God is not a chore. It's not a pain. It's not an inconvenience when he's first in our hearts. When he owns our hearts, when we love him first comes naturally. The last point that I want to deal with is this. Whenever we put God first, you sing a song like that, I surrender, and maybe God starts dealing with you about, you know what, maybe you start having this pull and this desire to start surrendering more to God. When we put God first, we can expect God to bless the rest. Whenever you put God first, you can expect God to bless the rest of your life. In fact, whatever it is that you put first belongs to him. And when you establish what belongs to him, he then blesses the rest of what you have. It's a spiritual principle. It's like, here, let me give you another spiritual principle that we all know. We just dealt with it with this, taking communion. A spiritual principle is you can't be forgiven if you don't forgive others, right? That's what the Bible tells us. That's a spiritual principle. It doesn't make sense. The Bible says if you give, it will be given back to you. It's a spiritual principle. This is the same spiritual principle. If we give to God our first and our best, he blesses the rest. You guys know this scripture. It's found in Proverbs chapter 3. And most of us are aware of this first two verses. Listen for God's voice in everything you do, everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. Don't assume that you know it all. Run to God and run from evil. But then we go into verse 8 and it says, your body will glow with health and your very bones will vibrate with life. Honor God with everything that you own. Give him the first and the best. Then your barns will burst, your wine vats will brim over. In other words, then what you have will increase, because God always multiplies what we have. I would say this, I think a lot of the reasons why we don't have enough time is because we don't give God the first and the best of our time. I would say a lot of the reasons why financially it's the same way. We don't give God the first and the best. I'd like you to close your eyes if you would. The last thing in the world I want you to misunderstand is that the disciplines in our lives cause God to love you more. That's not true. God cannot love you more than he already does. But we can't be godly without the habits that create godliness. We can't become like God, or we can't become like his son, who God says we were created to become like. We can't become like him if we don't have the habits in our life that cause us to live like Jesus lived. My feeling is this. I think that in your heart, everyone in this room wants to put God first. When we think about what that actually looks like, it becomes really challenging. We're not sure we can do it. And I don't want you to be discouraged. I want you to understand this. There's going to be success and failures, wins and losses. But God is with you to help you in every area of your life. Give him the first of the year. Join us on this fast. Give them the first of your month. Give them the first of your week, first of your day. But I'm going to tell you this. God needs our heart. He doesn't want to share our love and passion with anything else. And I don't know, maybe you're here today and you've never established that God is the one who owns your heart. He is the most important person in your life. In fact, you've never really entered into a relationship where you've said, God, I want you to be number one in my life. That happens right now. That happens because you ask him. You surrender and say, God, I don't want to be number one. I want you to be number one. And if that's you, talk to God right now. Just say, it's simple like this. God, I want you to be number one in my life. I want you to take first place. I surrender. Father, we all do today. Anew and afresh. We all come to a place, as we begin our year, that we want to create a habit that puts you first in our life, where it's more than a list in our head, but it's activity of our life. Father, we want you to have the first of our year, the first of our month, first of our week, first of our day. We want you to have the first of all of our life. So Lord, you know exactly where we're at, each one of us. And as we begin these habits in our lives, Father, help us to put you first. Help us to establish you as first. Father, I pray that as we establish these uphill habits, as we establish these biblical habits that call us to be closer to you, that call us to know you and experience you more, and Father, that you would just help us to depend on you, to draw close. We're not asking for something that requires willpower. We're asking for something, Father, that requires your power in our lives. So may you change us from the inside out and begin with our heart, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen.